Hi, my name's Florence Samuels. Florence Melanie Samuels. I'm 42 years old, and today is the... Today is the 10th of December, Tuesday the 10th of December. Sorry, Dad.
All right.
Tuesday the 10th of December in Auckland, New Zealand, and I am speaking with my dad, Rodney Michael Charles Samuels. So first question, Dad, what was I like as a baby, as a child? Do you remember a time when I made you angry?
No, I really can't. I was totally smitten with you as a baby, for one. We went through those troubled times when you got seriously ill and nobody knew what was happening with you. Fortunately, we brought you through that. And your grandparents took you to Fiji to help you get a full recovery before you joined your mom and I. I love the hell out of you. I just couldn't get enough of being with you. You're just you had a personality which came out very early in your time. And it was just an absolute treat for me to be with you.
Where is your mum's family from? And where is your dad's family from? And do you know your grandparents' family? Like, what do you know about them?
From history and listening to mum and dad, and recently some of the family members recounting stories that they've heard. My mom's parents, my grandfather, her dad, was a product of an American sea captain and a Samoan princess. He came down on a sailing boat, three-master, I think it was, and they married in Samoa. They went to Tonga, then eventually settled in Fiji. And Grandpa actually bought, Captain Benjamin Hughes, he actually set up the family and family land on Vanualevu. He bought something like 1,000 acres and set it up for the family there. But he and great-grandmother Malia, their grave is still on the land, which is fortunate for us. As far as Dad's parents were, his mom was also from Samoa, and his dad came all the way from India. I think it's Delhi that Grandpa Samuels' origins are. But he did a stint, I think, in South Africa, and he was one of the British actually trained a lot of the Indians to do all the having their level of expertise in commercial transactions and things. They handle a lot of the bookwork for the English as they colonize different parts of the world. And when they moved to Fiji, Grandpa actually went to Australia, and the family kind of grew there and eventually came across and married Grandma Malia Stowes.
What was one of the worst things you ever did as a kid? The cat story.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was worse. It was sad for the cats because they all died. But a good buddy, we must have been about 4 years old. Our neighbor, Brian Powell, we always kind of went around doing things together. And there was actually two others, two young boys. and we found all these brushes and tins of paint under our house, and we also found a litter of kittens. So we thought it'd be fun to paint them all different colors. Unfortunately, it was enamel paint, and then when we tried to, we knew what we'd done, and we were going to get ourselves into deep trouble. We tried to scrub all the paint off by soaking all the cats in a basin of water, and unfortunately, all these kittens passed, died. That's about it. Other than that, we, like I said, it wasn't anything that was bad. It's just crazy. Crazy kid fun.
Can you tell me about your relationship with your parents? Do you remember a time when you felt particularly close to either one of them? Do you remember a time when you made them angry?
Being the youngest in the family, I was spoiled rotten. Much to the not initially discussed of my older brother and sister, the two elder siblings, they kind of spoiled all of us, and I was, most of my life I was actually spoiled rotten. My mom spoiled me rotten, and Dad kind of gave me a lot of leeway, so I never, I think I remember getting a belting once in my whole time, and that's because I did something probably pretty silly to my older sister, trying to fight her for something that I wanted. But other than that, I was a pretty mild-natured child, too. I was just kind of happy-go-lucky. I got into all the fun things around the neighborhood, and as I said, being the youngest, probably took all the rough edges off things, and I just got a cruisy ride through everything. But everything was pretty good.
Can you tell me about where you grew up, what it was like?
Yes, plenty of real fun memories. I grew up in the neighborhood. Our house was located right at the apex of a hill in the neighborhood, and it kind of slanted away on either side to two streets, Struan Street up the front and Fraser Street down the back. And we had quite a few families who had young children, both girls and boys. And this kind of resulted in those days, all us boys and the girls, we had great opportunities to create fun for ourselves in the way of games like fighting tops, chasing flying kites, paper kites. We were close to water in a place called Walla Bay, which had a bridge over it. And that's where most of us younger ones learned how to swim, because the older brothers and friends and neighbors, they basically walked us up to the bridge, stood us at the edge, and just threw us off, telling us, if you don't swim to the side, you're going to drown. So we really frantically did the famous dog paddle and got ourselves to shallow land, and after that, we ran up ourselves and jumped off and just kept going. And that was about it.
That's pretty cool. How did you meet Betty Ann?
Well, I had a big crush on Betty Ann while we were coming through school. We would have been about 12 years old, probably the final years in primary school. She went to the Catholic girls' school, and I went to the Catholic boys' school. And we used to have a lot of church activity in the way of choir practice and different Catholic festivals, what do you call it, saintly-type days. where we all used to meet down there. She's a super pretty girl in the time, like she's maintained now. And quite a few of the boys had a big crush on her, but I don't know, she took pity on me, I suppose, and spent time with me. And I had a big crush on her, but come the age of 15 or 16, I decided I wanted to do something unusual in the way of dedicating myself to a life in a religious order. And these were the Marist brothers who taught us boys as we came through, and I figured I wanted to make a contribution in that line. So I left Fiji and went away. Betty Ann also left a couple of years after, when she married a U.S. Air Force serviceman, and they went back to the U.S. after he did a stint in Fiji. And for about 30-odd years, we'd gone our separate ways, we'd married, had our children, and part of my work, a project that I got involved with, took me to Los Angeles, and I caught up with Betty Ann again, and it was kind of that whole cycle kicked off again, and we're on this crazy whirlwind ride again. I did 5 or 6 trips back to the U.S. within the span of 6 or 7 months. And I said, oh, this is crazy. We can't do this. So I then asked her to marry me. I went back home, came up, got married, then took Betty Ann back to New Zealand for 5 years. And after that time, she started missing her own 2 girls and the grandson that was just born. So we decided to come back to the U.S. for 3 or 4 years and possibly commute between the 2 countries on a one-off type basis. But we never ever went back to New Zealand, and spent the last 22-odd years up in California.
What did you think you were going to be when you grew up?
Well, at a very young age, as I indicated, I basically thought that was my destiny. I needed to get in there and become a Marist brother. So I was fortunate I gave it a shot, and I had 6 to 8 years in the system training, and got to the stage where I took my temporary vows. And being the religious order that it was, it's a teaching order, I had to get my degree before I came back to Fiji to teach in the high school where I went to school. But unfortunately, things worked out that both the secular study and the religious study became a wee bit too burdensome for me. It kind of just had me staying up till 3-4 o'clock every day or every night, trying to fit both the secular and the religious commitments in terms of keeping up with everything. It just wore me away. So I asked the brother in charge if I could just leave for the final year, finish my degree, and then come back in. He did warn me. He said, the minute you walk out that door, you'll never come back. And I said, no, brother, I've already committed myself to this. But he was right. I left. I went out, worked for about 3 months to try and get enough funds to see myself through the final year. But even with all my determination and hard work, it just faded away. I just ran out of money. So I had to work for 2 or 3 months to save enough money to purchase a ticket to go back home. And I figure God kind of said to me, Well, you gave it a shot. You've given us 6 years of your life, and you were dedicated enough to put all you had into it. I'm going to make things a little easier for you. And he put me on a path which I never, ever dreamt I would be on. And I got to run with the Fiji rugby team. And in the 2 years I did that, and I was fortunate enough to be in a team that hit the heights with most other international teams, and it just opened doors for me everywhere I went. And you know, I've been grateful for that ever since. So as a result of that, I migrated to New Zealand. I got my residency out of the game. I had met my children's mother, and we had our family there. And things just blossomed from there. So it was a pretty blessed ride for me.
That's my God. If you could do anything for work, what would you do and why?
For work? I don't think I would want to do anything different from what I actually did. That's both the incompleted Maris Brother thing. I worked for Air New Zealand for a good 20 odd years, and I loved that whole environment. My father was in the airline game. He introduced me to this when I went back home to Fiji, and between that and playing rugby for Fiji, I just had a blast. And that I came to the realization that, you know, life can't be this much fun. Maybe I should be knuckling down and start creating a career for myself. And that's one of the reasons why I took the option to migrate to New Zealand. And with the rugby, I'd already set up contacts with different rugby clubs who took care of me. They gave me jobs. They gave me cars. And this was in an era way back in 1973, 74, when professional sport or professional rugby just was unheard of. But that, I was blessed with all these things, and it was through that and all the fun things that I did with the North Coast Rugby Club, I met my children's mother, and it was a wonderful time creating this young family around me, and just the joy of the brotherhood of this club, which I've just reunited with after 40 odd years, celebrating my 70th birthday at the same rugby club I came and played for 50 odd years ago. So it's been a blessing all the way.
Do you regret anything?
No, that's not right. I regret it's not a hateful thing. I just regret how my division with the children and their mom resulted in 2 or 3 years of pretty empty years for me. But that's all, I got myself through that. Unfortunately, the children's mother kind of looked at things in a way that allowed me to reconnect with the kids. And I was always very grateful for that. And fortunately, after all these years, and that's putting a few years behind us, we've actually pretty near got back to where I always believed I wanted to be with my family and my kids. So I don't know if I could change. I can't say I want to change it, because I met Betty Ann and her girls and all my grandchildren, and it's all fun, good times all the way through. So who wants to give that up? I've got to say, I don't regret a thing. I'm just happy that I was invited to be part of this whole journey, which involved two groups of wonderful people, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Can you tell me about someone you'll always remember?
Always remember. That'd be you, dear. There's never been another person in my life that as I think your mother kind of said it right, I was smitten by you as a child, as a little girl, as a kid growing up, as an adult now. I have with the boys and all my friends and all my siblings and all of this, those are all close relationships, but what I have with you is something I would never ever want to be without, having had that experience and as a result making me the man that I am today.
Yeah. What do you feel most grateful for in your life?
The opportunity to come back after some pretty hard, stressful medical issues. But here again, it's a result of people wanting me and praying for me and willing me to be part of them and pulling me back from the depths of where I was. And putting me back in play with my full capacity to perform as an individual and a human being and a contributor to all the things that I love doing.
Can you tell me about someone who's had a big influence on your life? What lessons did that person teach you?
Oh, numerous. It sounds monotonous and boring. I suppose hearing me say there's a multitude of people that have kind of influenced me, changed my life, and it's been more of a here you are. They all gave me things, not physical things, but qualities and examples of how I should survive and perform and exist. And they just showed me the way, and it's these gifts, these things that they gave me, allowed me to be the person that I am. And thankfully, after just like finding out from many people that I've interacted with over the years that this is actually filtered down to them, and for that I'm very grateful for.
What are you proudest of in your life?
Honestly, I never looked in terms of achievements or taking accolades for myself. I've always been one to acknowledge that I have been blessed with things, but I've always wanted to share it with those that I love, those that are close to me, my family, my children, and for them to feel the pride and feel the kudos from other people that they gave to me as a result of the things that I've done is basically why I do the things that I do.
If this was to be our very last conversation, is there anything you'd want to say to me?
I would. I would say you've learned the lessons that I hope you would. You've got the guidelines in place to take yourself through and be effective with what you do and with your talents and all that you've been given to survive on this journey of your own. Like me, you've been blessed with things. Things have been just handed to you. But that's because you've been blessed with it. Well, let's say the Most High has understood that your capabilities and that you were blessed with things that you could use to make everybody else's journey a whole lot better, which is how I live my journey.
Is there anything that you've never told me but want to tell me now?
I don't think so, dear. I've been blessed with this. What's the word? Liaison between father and daughter, which has allowed me to be upfront with you with everything, tell you the hard things when I needed to, support you through the hard things when you needed me. But there really isn't anything. And what I'm so grateful for is that you have picked up all the advice that I've kind of filtered and dropped on you through the years. And you've pretty near taken charge of your own journey, which is what I believe my job is as a parent, like I do for you and the boys.
So this is a part where I turn the tables and I can tell you what you meant to me. I think I've, as I've gotten older, I can be honest, and I think I've spent a lot of my life feeling like I needed to prove something to you, and maybe that's been a good thing and pushed me and stuff, but I just never want you to not realize how much you mean to me. And like I said on my speech, like, I'm really proud of you there and what you do now and all the things that you've done up to this point, and I'm super stoked and super, super grateful that you're still around, because I remember how much that physically hurt me when you had your first heart attack. Just that feeling of not being around, like, made me, a part of me, feel physically empty. And I'm just glad you're still around. And I'm so, so stoked that we got to celebrate your birthday with you and have a great night and to see all the people from us growing up and stuff. But, you mean the world to me, Dad. And I'm just grateful that I have the special relationship that I have with you, and that I have the special relationship that I have with Mum. I think it just makes me believe even more in the whole philosophy that I've always lived by, that everything happens for a reason, and you are both meant to be my parents. So I just, want you to know that I love you very much and how much you mean to me.
one of the things that got it probably in was, in terms of my contribution, is that we'd be super lucky that we're able, now you probably had a second shot at it, but to be able to be open, honest, and real with each other. We always known that, you know, there is, it's not a love that we compare with love that we have for other people. It's just a fullness, a completeness. An amazing realm that says there is nothing more. This is what you need. This relationship with your daughter, and you're fulfilled. That's all there is. And I am so blessed. I love you for it, Lauren.
So, one of these bits, okay, that one is the last one. How would you like to be remembered?
The only one that I really want to be remembered by are you three children, my siblings, and my family, in terms of he was one of us, and he did what he needed to do to keep us all ahead of the game.
Can you tell me about one of your most difficult memories?
One of my most difficult memories. Oh, yeah. That's going to come straight to the fore. It's my separation from my family. From you children, when you were young, from your mom. As I worked my way through what was unfolding in front of me, that was probably one of the most difficult things. That is the most difficult thing. Because when it comes to something, and you know me well, I kind of wear my heart on my sleeve, so, and I've always been out there and out front with how I love you all and how I want to be with you all. But unfortunately, it's taken years. We've done the whole cycle. Here I am at my 70th birthday. My eldest child is 42. How much more blessed can you be? And how many more years are we going to enjoy all of this? Whatever it's going to be, whatever the number is, we're going to make the most of it.
Can you tell me about one of your happiest memories?
Happiest memory. Your arrival, for one. Ambrose's arrival. Waylon's arrival. I hadn't realized as a guy and what it actually means. I had no concept. What a child coming into my life meant. But then I had you turn up with this flamboyance and the love and the smile and everything that just you exuded as a little girl. I just totally blown away. And then your brothers turn up and they do kind of the same thing. And it's just an overflowing river of this wonderful feeling. I couldn't think of anything better than all of that.
Last question then. What are some of the most important lessons you've learned in life?
There is only one lesson that I learned, which kind of drives the way I live my life, that my journey here is not an introverted one. It's not one of accumulation for myself. It's one of contributing to all those that I love so much, that are close to me, that I interact with, that are put in my path as I go through on my own journey. I've been fortunate that I've been given two or three opportunities to get a second shot at doing all of this. And armed with all the necessary things to make it effective. Just the knowledge, the opportunities, the wonderful people around me. It's just been a dream ride. Couldn't ask for more.
Thanks, Daniel. Interview all done. Love you, Daniel.